Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9. You're listening to The Blank Canvas. This is your guest host for this evening's show. I'm John Cox. I'm in the studio with my father, George Victor Cox, and we are talking about a new exhibition slash project that's coming up at the National Art Gallery called The Unseen Structure, where I am curating and creating a response to my father's career as a civil and structural engineer. And I'm very happy to have him in the studio with me today, and we're talking a little bit about the history of his profession and his practice and just how that's evolved, and we're having a good old time. So just before the break, Dad, we were discussing when you'd moved into or not moved into, but you had occupied your firm, kind of germinated at what is now Pop-Up Studios, but was then the home of my mom, the late Sotella Dillett Cox, and Eddie Dillett, whose nickname was Pop-Up, and that's the reason that Pop-Up Studios is called Pop-Up. But that also was the original place where your firm started. So can you talk to us a little bit about who was part of the firm at that point and what you guys did? And I know you said you were partners with some other firms.
Yes.
There were some firms from the UK, I think, yeah, yes. That you'd work with?
Yeah, there was a firm called Wallace Evans and Partners.
Right.
And they were quite a reputable firm out of Wales, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And they had offices around the West Indies and Trinidad and Jamaica and places like that. Came to the Bahamas, they asked me if I would be willing to work with them. So
right.
I reformed a partnership, and it was called George Cox Wallace Evans and Partners.
Okay.
And we practiced civil and structural engineering.
Okay. And so how long did you work with those guys?
I think until the sort of early 60s.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. What was that unusual that you would be working with a firm that was from another country? Was that a part of like a government mandate that you had to do that, or how did you connect with them?
It wasn't a mandate, but they were encouraged to associate with a local engineer.
Right.
And they, at that time, I had a fairly good practice. I had lots of good clients. As they,
mm-hmm.
I think they decided, it was decided that we would join forces, you know.
Right.
I was able to send some of my staff off to Wales to further their education and get practical experience. So it was a sort of win-win situation. You know?
Okay, that's great. Yeah. That's great. And so so you were partnering with them all the time while you were living in Chippingham or working in Chippingham?
No, we actually moved to Mount Royal Avenue.
Okay. So that's on Hawkins Hill.
On Hawkins Hill, yes.
On the corner of Shirley Street and Hawkins Hill is
yes.
Where the office existed for decades, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Right. And so when you move there, obviously that's a slightly bigger space, and we should also bring a little bit of kind of cultural context to that. So my grandfather, Eddie Dillett, nicknamed Pop-Up, inspired Pop-Up Studios. The house or the structure that you moved to on Hawkins Hill would have also been his prior workshop.
Correct,
right?
Yes.
He was a mill worker, right? Like a finished carpenter?
He was a contractor.
And
he had his mill shop there.
Yeah. So that would have been a space that you worked in. So you converted his old mill shop into the office.
Yes. His daughter, Sotella, my wife,
mm-hmm.
actually converted it to apartments before I moved in.
Okay.
But she allowed me to move in, and so I moved my office there, and
mm-hmm.
it was a very nice space, you know, multi-level, three levels. And,
yeah.
And we occupied the three levels, and I did some conversions to it, made it quite a nice space, you know.
I remember as a child going there, my friend, who was also an artist, Toby Lunn, and I would always go there on the weekends with you and have a good time drawing on the on the drawing boards downstairs and rolling around on the office chairs. That was good fun. To us, that was what engineering was. That's great. So at what point, how much did the firm grow at that point? Like what's the largest number of people you had working for you?
I think the largest number was about 15.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you also had people working in satellite offices as well, right? You had people working in Family Islands and in
Not satellite offices.
Okay, all right.
We did a lot of work in the Family Islands, but we send our engineers there. Or I went,
mm-hmm.
And we did work in Exuma,
right.
Cat Island. We did a lot of power stations for BEC.
Right.
And we did one of the main power stations at Clifton Pier at the time. That was in the late, early 80s.
Right.
And we did the building which housed the diesel generators.
Okay.
3, 4, and 5.
Okay.
And I think 6 also. And we did a lot of work in that area. We did also the Bacardi loading docks.
Okay.
Which is very interesting projects because Bacardi had their storage terminals out there next to the cement plant.
Yeah.
And there was an underground pipe which went from the storage terminal under the water up to the mooring dolphin.
Right.
This is where the Bacardi ship used to come in and take the finished product over to Europe.
Right.
That's a very interesting project.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So who would have been some of the early... So talk to us a little bit about... Give us a bit of an education on how the structure of a civil and structural engineering firm would work. So were all of the engineers that you had on the team, were they either civil or structural, or did you ever have mechanical or electrical?
No, we just dealt with civil and structural projects.
Right. And so how many engineers did you have versus how many draftsmen versus how many, what would be like the breakdown of an office?
Well, we had on the average about 3 or 4 engineers,
mm-hmm.
and the rest would have been technicians, draftsmen.
Okay.
And at one time we had as many as 15, I think.
Okay.
Engineers and technicians. And we also had not satellite offices, but we had associations with foreign firms. The first one I mentioned before was Wallace Evans and Partners.
Right.
Very reputable firm out of Wales. And I had sort of specialty firm associations with a specialty firm called can't remember the name right now.
Were they from the UK again or from Canada?
Canada, yeah.
Okay. Was this the firm that you worked on to do the harbor projects?
That's correct, yes.
Right, yeah, I think I remember that. Okay. So
why can't I remember the name?
It'll come to you. So who were some of the engineers that worked with you? Because I know quite a few engineers worked with you for many years, and then they kind of went on to start their own practice. Because I'd like to ask you a little bit about the landscape of civil and structural engineers in the country now. Like in those days, were you the only firm, essentially, or were...
No, there were other firms. There was... Holland Smith, who was a civil engineer,
mm-hmm.
and there was Milton Rees, who was a structural engineer. Milton was a Jamaican, but he had come here, I think, to work with H. E. Christie.
Yeah,
Mr. Christie was a land developer, and Milton actually designed the barrel vaults of the Nassau Airport.
Okay,
so he was quite a good engineer, and I'm not sure where he is now, but. I also worked with Shell, a company called Shell Consulting Engineers out of Toronto, Canada.
Yeah.
And their specialty was marine.
Was that the company that did the harbor with you?
Yes, yes.
Cox and Shell, that was
Cox
the name
and
of it.
Shell, yes. Shell.
Yeah, that was the name of it. I think I recall that. Yeah. So what about the local... in terms of the other Bahamian-born architects, engineers, sorry, that worked with you that now have their own firms?
There are quite a few. Carlton Blair was one. Roy Rowlands was one. He came with Wallace Evans and Partners,
mm-hmm.
started his own firm after working with me for quite a number of years.
Okay.
Unfortunately, he died a couple of years ago. There's Lambert Knowles, who originally worked with Ministry Works. He joined me for a time, and then he started his own firm. There's Adrian Rollins, who started with me out of high school. And he went off to school and came back and worked with me for quite a number of years, and he started his own practice.
Okay.
And I'm getting old and forgetful now.
I can't remember anything either, don't worry. So there's quite a few people who have kind of come through. There's also Taran Nichols.
Of course, Taran, yes. Taran,
yeah, so Taran Nichols has his own firm as well, yeah?
And then there's Tony Farrington, who has his own firm, and Kevin Bain.
Right, right.
Yeah, they're all doing very well.
Yeah.
And there's a girl who is quite a good engineer. The name of her firm is Blue Engineering.
Is this Michelle?
Michelle Lakin, yes.
Michelle Lakin, yes.
She worked with me for a while when she came back from school.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, we have some very good technicians. Kelly McKenzie, Arizona Bain.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an Indian girl engineer. Her name was Jansi Kamari.
Mm-hmm.
And Joan Silver. And, you know, had a very good office. Very good work.
Yeah.
Isabel Nowak was a super technician. She was American, but she worked on a major project.
She was quite a character, right? I remember her. She smoked a few packs of cigarettes every day just to get through. I remember her. Yeah, you have etched memories of people. You're like, wow, that's a lot of cigarettes, lady.
We used to have an office picnic every year. I remember she was responsible for doing the salad, and she used to make the salad in a garbage bag, mix it up.
Well, I'm sure it was effective. Yeah, no, that's good. That's great. So how do you think, this now UB, University of the Bahamas, are there young kids now falling, kind of wanting to take on this profession?
Yeah, I know, can't remember names now, but every year we have to have graduates coming to us to find out about engineering.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's interesting. I'm currently teaching at St. Andrew's School, and I have a student in the ninth grade who it was very pleasantly surprised to hear. We were kind of having a little bit of a conversation about what are you going to be and what do you want to study and whatever. And this female student, who's quite good at art, without knowing about that, you are my dad or anything like that, said, I want to be a civil engineer. And I thought that was pretty interesting. I thought that it kind of made me, it put a smile on my face. So that was great. So we're, getting close to the end of this segment now. They seem to roll so quickly. So the next segment, I want to talk a little bit about the actual exhibition and what people can kind of expect. But I want, before we get into that, there are a couple of projects that you worked on that we thought would be interesting kind of focal points, right? You worked with many architects because oftentimes, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, the engineer is most of the time working with an architect, correct?
For buildings, yes.
Yeah, for buildings. So there's a bit of a collaboration there. And we reached out to Pat Ramming, who you worked on the National Insurance Building with.
Yes.
And we talked a little bit about that kind of iconic structure. And we talked a little bit about a project that you kind of had some involvement with the glass window bridge in Eleuthera. And also we wanted to talk a little bit more about another architect, Ray Nathaniels. And so when we come back, we want to talk about those things. And we're also going to speak a little bit about what I have kind of planned for the exhibition, which I think and hope the public at large will find interesting. And we could learn a little bit more about the details of that. So I just want to remind everybody again that we're on Guardian Radio 96.9. This is The Blank Canvas. I'm your guest host, John Cox, and I'm here with my father, George Victor Cox, and we're talking about the Unseen Structure, the new exhibition, or a new among many exhibitions at the National Art Gallery that's going to be opening later this month. And we'll be right back after this break. Thank you.